So it is great that you are here. I want to welcome you to part four of this series that we've called All Ears. And so John 10 has been our theme verse in this series, and I love this, where Jesus a lot of times spoke in pictures or metaphors, and especially in the Gospel of John. And in this case, he paints a picture of himself as a shepherd, and for the rest of us as sheep. And that's because he's trying to help us understand the relationship between the two. And he says the gatekeeper opens a gate for them, and the sheep, and I love this phrase, they listen to his voice. And that's what this series has been all about. And so we've done the 21 days, you know, we're in the middle of that, and I'm really excited about all the people that are actually seeing God and seeking God and praying. And we've learned that God doesn't have a speaking problem, we have a hearing problem, and we're working on that in this series. It says that he calls his own sheep, not just collectively, but also he talks to us individually. It says by name. He wants to talk with us. And it says to lead them out, which, you know, and this is his purpose for speaking, is to guide us, to direct us. It says that he goes ahead of them, and then so he's leading us, and the sheep, we follow him because we have, the sheep have an innate ability to recognize his voice. And not only that, but to turn away and not follow the stranger or all the other voices, which we're going to learn today that the devil has a voice and he loves to speak to you as well. But they never follow the stranger's voice. In fact, they run away from the stranger because they don't recognize his voice. And so we want to learn to distinguish between the two and even begin to shut out the enemy's voice because we understand that he's speaking. And so today we're going to learn to recognize the enemy's voice. And so what we've done in this series, so number one, we actually just talked about how important it is for our heart to be prepared for God to speak to us. And honestly, if you missed part one, and all of our messages are online, you can go back and watch them on YouTube or our website. But the first one is a really foundational message. You can't miss it. And then week two, about how God speaks to us as an individual. And then last week, I talked about that God speaks in the Bible at least 12 different ways that he talks to us, but the most predominant way that he talks to us today is what the Bible calls a still, small voice, and we call it whispers. So God just gives us this prompting inside of us. And so today, like I said, we're going to talk about how to know if when you hear those whispers or those nudges, what we feel to be God, how to know, is that God or is that the devil or is that the pizza that we ate last night? How do we know, you know, if that's God? So all of us, sometimes we miss things. You know, we think we hear God. But if we are going to have this, you know, this ebb and flow of all of us trying to listen to God, even the best of us are going to miss God sometimes. Even Peter, like Jesus says, hey guys, who do you think that I am? And Peter stood up and he said, hey, you're the Messiah. You know, you are the Christ. And Jesus affirms him and says, well, look, there's no way that you would have known that. Only God who have revealed that to you. You know, God spoke to you, Peter. And then right after that, like a minute later, Jesus is talking about going to the cross and dying. And Peter stands up and says, no, you must never die. And so Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. He called him out as being Satan's mouthpiece. And so that can happen to all of us. We could all miss it. But we want to miss it as little as possible. And so what the beauty of 1 John chapter 4 is, it says, dear believers, don't believe every spirit or every impression or every promptum. Do not trust them all just because you had one. And then it says, but test. And it makes it plural. It says, test the spirits. Because there is the Holy Spirit speaking, but there are also other spirits that are speaking as well. And so it says, test the spirits to see if they're actually from God or not. And even in Proverbs, it says that there is a way that appears to be right. You know, it's like people just say, well, God just wants me happy. Well, actually, there's not a place in the Bible that says God wants you happy. It says he wants you holy, not happy, but now your holiness will make you happy, but your happiness without your holiness will actually make you miserable. So you can get the wrong kind of happiness, you could get miserable. And there is a way that appears to be right, it says, but in the end is not. So what we need to do is we need to test. We need to filter. And so I'm going to give you four different ways to test and see if the impression, the prompting, the whispering, the speaking of God is actually God. And it's best if you use all four. You can use every one by itself, but it's best if you use all four together. And so number one is, does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with the Bible? That God's voice, watch this, God's voice will never contradict His word, never. So God's not going to say one thing in the Bible and then come along and speak to you something different. And I'll give you an example. And look, I'm not picking on this one, and I'll explain it in a second. I'm just using it as an example. But there was a story where the religious teachers, they were called Pharisees, and they came to Jesus, and they wanted to trap Him. It says that they were going to test Him, and they asked, hey, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? And Jesus actually didn't answer the question. He actually responded with, well, why are you asking me? Haven't you read? Haven't you read? And He goes back and He quotes the book of Genesis. He quotes the Bible. And so he says, why are you asking my opinion when it's already been written? By the way, that's how I answer questions. When people ask me questions, because there are a lot of things that 20, 30 years ago we used to call sin, that now our population doesn't call sin anymore. And so people come along and say, Pastor, what do you think about? And they'll name something. And here's my response. What makes you think my opinion is important? You know, it is written. It's like, you know, I'm just going to point to the Bible. You know, what makes Him God is He gets the right to say what's right and wrong. I'm not following my feelings or my opinions. You know, it's the Bible. And so here in this scripture, Jesus, they were asking Him about divorce. And I know divorce has been picked on in the church as a pet sin, and it's not. God doesn't hate divorced people. He hates divorce. He wants you to have a strong family. He hates anything that hurts us, but He loves you, and God can redeem anything that you've been through. There are some fabulous people that unfortunately have gone through the tragedy of divorce, but God can redeem and heal anything. That is the truth. And I want to make sure that you understand that. But Luke 21 says, although heaven and earth will pass away, He says, my words remain forever true. So a lot of people will actually, you know, they'll take the Bible out of context, you know, to make it say what they want it to say. And you could pretty much do that with anything. You could take one single verse out of context. And so, but what we call in theology, we call the whole counsel of God is what we want. In other words, I'm bringing everything that God has to say about this together. I'm not just pulling things out. The devil actually did that when he was tempting Jesus. You know, you can read it in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. But when he was tempting Jesus, he actually used scriptures to do it. He said, doesn't the Bible say, you know? And so the Bible is using the word to tempt the word of God, which is kind of funny. But when the devil quotes verses, Jesus comes back with three more. He says, no, you don't understand. It is written, it is written, it is written. And that is what we call the whole counsel of God, not just cherry picking verses to say what we want it to say. And so here's something else. Here's the second one is, will it make me more like Christ? If what I'm hearing, what the thing that I'm feeling, that impression, that whisper, if I follow through with it, is it going to make me more like Jesus or less like Jesus? And so I want to just throw this out right now, is that really is our goal after salvation. You know, you don't want to make it your goal before salvation, because you've got to meet Jesus, fall in love with Jesus, surrender your life to Jesus before you'll ever have the power to become anything like Jesus. So just to be clear, you don't have to get your act together to become a Christian. You have to become a Christian to get your act together. And I want to make sure that is very clear. Salvation is free. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be a better person. You just have to surrender your life to His control. However, once you do, Philippians says that now we work out that salvation with fear and trembling. So here's the theological term, is that a regeneration takes place. And that means the more I know God, the more I become like Him. Like I'm letting Him work on my attitude, my decision-making, my choices. And maybe I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be either, that God is working on my life. And that's my hope for all of us. And by the way, that happens at Living Word in two primary ways. One is the growth track that we've been talking about, that you can become more like God, you can find your purpose. It's a great way to start growing. But the second way is that we start in the beginning of February. Next Sunday is our meetups. So we put the meetups for each semester, you know, we put them in 13-week semesters, so they start and stop, and so then you can get a break. this semester starting at the beginning of February. And so you've got a week or so just to shop for groups. We put them online on our website, and you know, because there's a lot of them there. And so there's, you've got a whole nother week of registration before they begin. And so once you get there, you put in the parameters of where you live and what you're interested in, and then you can find, you know, a meetup that works for you. But here's the thing. In your life, you must think and act like Jesus. So I have this impression, I think I'm supposed to do this. I think I'm supposed to tell this person such and such. I think I'm supposed to respond this way to that email. But here's the question. After you do it, will that make you more like Jesus? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, I take captive my thoughts. You know, my I think God said, with obedience to Christ. So in other words, I'm going to bring it into obedience. Will this make me look like Jesus? Will this make me more like Jesus? You know, and so you might say, well, hey, I'm a new Christian. I still don't know what Jesus would do. Let me give you a list. James chapter 3 says, the wisdom that comes from heaven. So if you want to know if you're receiving wisdom from heaven, a word from God, it's first of all pure. So if I do this, will I be more pure? If I send that email, will I be more peace-loving? You know, if I post this on social media, will that make me more peace-loving? If I follow through on this action, will it be considerate? Or is it full of mercy, good fruit, partial, sincere? You know, thank you, Holy Spirit, for that list, right? So this is the third one, which is, does godly counsel agree? And so this is what we want to do is godly counsel. And so you want to make sure to go to godly counsel. And then we want to look at this word called that where it says agree. Because some godly counsel, you could be in a situation where some will say one thing and the other will say something else. Let me tell you what I do. I look for agreement. Before I pull triggers, before I do things, I'm looking for agreement. And there is, the word says there's power in agreement. And I look for that personally. And then it says, the way of fools seems wise to them, but the wise listen to advice. Proverbs 19 also says, listen to advice and accept the discipline that comes from it. In other words, you know, if you ask the right people, they're not always going to agree with you. And you need to be able to agree with discipline. It says, and you'll be counted among the wise. Because many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. So surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won with many advisors. And by the way, I'm not talking about you getting, you know, all these things from, you know, from people when they don't give you the report you want, you just go somewhere else. A lot of people will do that. Well, you didn't give me the answer I want, so I'll go to somebody else that will tell me what I want to hear. You've got to be really careful because you can manipulate situations like that. It's like the story about the guy that on his way to work, he prayed, God, if it be your will for me to stop by and get a dozen Krispy Kremes, the hot light will be on. So when he got there, the hot light wasn't on. So he took a lap around, and surely when he came back around, it was on. And so it was the will of God that he have donuts. Some of us do that with God. But be very, very careful, because if I don't get agreement, here's what I do. I just stop. I just wait. And I think that's wisdom, and I offer that to you as well. But I want to give you all four of these, and this is the fourth one, and that is, here's the question, is do I have peace? That's the fourth one. You know what's different about Christianity than every other religion is, you see, we just don't worship an external God. We actually have God on the inside of us that we worship. I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me, and the Spirit of God lives in all Christians. And so knowing that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, we've got to realize that's a powerful thing. And what that means is maybe you have felt it before, that clash of God's Spirit to your own flesh or your own, you know, wanting to go two different things. It's kind of like the angel and a demon on your shoulders is the cartoon version of an actual reality that we have, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, but we also have something else that are speaking to us or other forces. And so you might ask, how does the Holy Spirit talk? His language is peace. Jesus says that there's a peace that the world can't give, that God is not the God of confusion. He doesn't author confusion, but he is the God of peace. And so how do we do that? Watch this. It says, do not be anxious, you know, but in every situation, we're just saying, God, what are you trying to say to me? That we just slow down and ask. And it says, and present your request to God. And then it says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which means human reasoning. So the peace of God is going to guard. That word guard, it's a military term. It actually means a garrison or an army that will surround your heart. Look, I want you to live your life in such a way that the Holy Spirit is in you. And you have a sense of what you face in your life, you know, that there is this garrison of an army around your heart of peace. And I don't care what the circumstances are in your life, God is willing to put this garrison, this army around your heart to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's true. And so we want to live with the peace of God. And so as I close this message, I just want you to tune in to God every day. You know, the goal is not to just check, yeah, I did the 1-year Bible when I'm done. These are all tools to actually help you tune in to God. So the goal of reading the Bible is not just to read the Bible. The goal of reading the Bible is to lead you to the person in the Bible so you can tune in to his character, his nature, and his presence. In other words, don't make the goal the moment, make the goal how well you're tuned in to God when you are in that moment. You know, so God, I just want to slow things down enough so I can hear your voice, know what you're saying. And this brings us back to our theme verse, but in a different transliteration. He says, when he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow him. And here's the goal is they become familiar with his voice. So how do you become familiar with somebody's voice? Well, just think about it for a minute. If Melissa called you on your cell phone and said, hey, you might say, well, who's this? Because you guys don't talk on the phone every day and you don't have a clue. But she can call my phone, you know, right now and give me 3 letters. Hey. And I'll say, hey, what's up, baby? Because I know who she is. And it's more than caller ID. I have actually tuned in. I recognize her voice. My ears are not better than yours. In fact, I'm no better just because I serve in this particular role in the church. I'm a sheep along with all you guys, you know, doing my role. You know, I'm serving along with all of you. And look, pastors don't have any more ability to hear God's voice than anybody else. The people that hear God's voice are the people that spend a lot of time with the person with that voice, with God. And so if you spend enough time with God, you can actually become familiar with his voice. Tune in, and not only tune in, but then tune out everything else. We have to actively shut down the voices that oppose God. That's what part of this fast is about. And you know what those voices are. You have a Holy Spirit on the inside of you, which, look, that's my way of leading you through the Holy Spirit. I'm not getting in your face, look, you need to stop this, you need to stop watching that, your attitude over there. You don't hear that from me. I lead you to a relationship with Jesus, and then he shows you everything. And so you can only do that. Look, if you want to tune in the things of God, the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you, hey, you know what? Maybe you should tune this out. Maybe you shouldn't get so close to that. But that's what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And all of us should grapple with how much of the world we get familiar with. And so a lot of times God doesn't speak to us because we haven't tuned out a lot of the noise from the world. Maybe it's social media, maybe it's hatred, maybe it's entertainment, whatever it is. But I want for all of us to get to a place where we have got to get closer to God. And sometimes we're so far from God's voice, we don't recognize his voice anymore. So here's some steps. Take some steps toward him. I mean, why would God keep talking to you if you haven't done the last thing that he's told you to do? Let's take some steps toward God and just make sure that we are obeying the voice of God when we do hear it. Hope you've enjoyed this. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for what you've done in our lives. And God, as we are tuned into you and learning to hear your voice, I just thank you that not only are you speaking, but we're also hearing, that we have ears to hear. And I thank you that we are led and guided and warned, and you're giving us visions and dreams, and that we are able to pass those through this filter. These filters of your word and counsel of peace. And Father, we thank you for your word that has opened up our hearts. And God, we commit today to not only be hearers of your word, but also doers. In Jesus' name.